Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, we have come to verse 20 of Colossians chapter 1 and an account of the great reconciliation. It is the last verse of Paul's hymn about Christ. It brings that hymn to a grand climax. And it tells us that Jesus Christ not only redeemed sinners, but he reconciled all of creation back to God. That Christ's cross work reconciled the entire universe back to God. Now that is an astounding thought, and that is a truth that is not often declared nor considered carefully, but that's exactly what this text forces us to consider. And here's what it says, Colossians 1:20, and by him, that is Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Well, we've begun examining this text by noticing the need for reconciliation, and the need is bound up in the Word. If we're talking about reconciling things to God, to reconcile all things to himself, you see, that's the indication that we're not talking just about reconciling sinners back to God. That's what we normally think about when we think about reconciliation. Sinners have been alienated from God by their sin, but through the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning death upon the cross, sinners who believe in Jesus are reconciled back to God. Very true. Thank God for that. Wonderful truth. And I am counting on that. But this tells us that there's a whole lot more than sinners that must be reconciled to God. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. That last phrase makes it clear that we're talking about what Christ accomplished on the cross. And he accomplished the reconciliation which encompassed all things, whether we're talking about things on earth or things in heaven. Quite astounding, isn't it? I don't think I've greeted you yet, so let me do that. Welcome to the Beacon broadcast on this Friday, January 15, and thanks for remembering that we depend upon the financial gifts of our listeners to remain on this station. Well, the need for reconciliation is bound up in that word, reconcile. That's why we're talking about a reconciliation, because obviously there is a need. And that has to do with the curse that descended upon creation because of Adam's sin. Adam's sin not only affected the whole human race, we know that and understand that, but the Bible makes it clear that it also affected the universe, the material universe. The physical world was changed. The animal world was changed, as well as humanity was changed. Everything has changed because of Adam's sin, and therefore everything needs to be reconciled to God, and only Jesus Christ can do that. Now, the significance of the word reconcile helps us to more fully understand all of this, the need for reconciliation. The root of this word means to change or exchange, and with the prefix apo, meaning back, it means to change back. It is the restoration of a broken relationship. It indicates the cause of conflict has been removed and a right relationship restored. We talked on the broadcast yesterday about marriage partners who separate and then they are reconciled. They are brought back together. A formerly good marriage relationship, harmonious marriage relationship that was strained, that was broken, has now been restored. They have been reconciled. And we talk about that in terms of children. Sometimes children rebel and they estrange themselves from their parents. Sometimes parents don't even know where they are. Or even if they know where they are physically, there's no relationship. The relationship with the parents is broken. But what glad news when we learn that there has been a reconciliation. Or maybe it's other relatives. Almost everybody has somebody in their family that they have strained relationships with. Isn't it a glad day when those strained relationships are resolved and a reconciliation takes place? Some people are having difficulty with relationships on your job. Maybe you have a strained relationship with your employer. That's awkward and very, very difficult and potentially damaging. A strained relationship with an employer can very easily conclude in termination. The strained relationship grows worse until there's a break from which there is no possible restoration. But what a glad day when we learn that that formerly strained relationship has been mended. There has been a reconciliation. But all of these illustrations that I have given are examples that basically involve equals, not exact equals. In marriage, we're talking about partners, an equality. With children, there's not quite the same level of equality, but in comparison with what we're talking about in this text, there is basically an equality. They're two human beings, particularly if we're talking about grown children. The children are no longer at home. They no longer have relationship of legal submission to their parents who have legal authority over them, but that's no longer true. They're grown up. They're grown children now. And certainly other relationships are basically among equals. But when we're talking about God and creation, we're not talking about equals. We're talking about the Creator on the one hand, and what he created on the other hand. There's no equality there, not even close. You're dealing with two entirely different categories of things. On the one hand, you're talking about God who is eternal, has no beginning. And on the other hand, you're talking about the things that he made, which all have a beginning at whatever point he made them. You're talking about things which he created, which can in no wise rise to the level of who he is. They are, whatever we're talking about that's created, it's always in the category of creation. It's always a creature made by the Creator. We're talking about categories that are so different, so separated, that it's hard to even imagine them being brought together. And the amazing thing is that God would seek to accomplish reconciliation with his creation that rebelled against him. You would think that creation would be seeking that reconciliation with its Creator. We have sinned against you. We have rebelled against you. We recognize that is wrong and dishonoring to you and is destructive to ourselves, And therefore, O Lord God, would you please bring us back into right relationship with yourself? You would think that certainly human beings would be doing that, and you would think that all of creation would be seeking such a restoration. But the truth of the matter is that creation has not been seeking reconciliation with its Creator, but the Creator has taken the initiative to seek and accomplish reconciliation with His own creation. God took the initiative, and only He can accomplish the reconciliation that is desired and required. So that talks about the need for reconciliation. But let's secondly consider for a moment the scope of reconciliation. And back to our text, Colossians 1:20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven. The two statements here, the first statement says all things. And at first glance, you'd say that's comprehensive. That means everything. And so you would assume, we read earlier of that same all things, we read in verse 16, for by him, that is Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Are there any exceptions to that? That all things means everything, doesn't it? Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him, all things consist. You see, we've been confronted with this phrase, all things, over and over again. It's pretty clear what it means in context. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. There's no exceptions to that. So then when we read, for it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, we realize that all things means the same thing that it meant when it said he created all things. The first all things means everything created, the whole universe, both material and spiritual. Anything that is created by him needs to be reconciled by him. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. So the first statement says all things, and that seems pretty clear, but there's additional clarification. All things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. This is talking about the human world. This is talking about the material world. This is talking about the spirit world. All have been alienated and stand in need of reconciliation. And so what we're learning is that there's nothing in all the universe that lies outside the realm of Christ's redeeming work upon the cross. Christ will correct every aspect of his broken creation and present a properly ordered universe to God, his Father. That's what this is saying. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. This is an amazing doctrine, an amazing teaching, an amazing revelation about the cross work of Christ that needs to be carefully examined. Join me again next week as we continue doing so. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.